Alternative hedonism is a rallying call as much as a strategy for our guest on Culturefile this time, philosopher and eco-critic Kate Soper. Soper suggests that predictions of environmental collapse and fiery eco-Armageddon might not, in the end, be the best way to coax people into positive changes. Instead, she says, we need to get more creative about enjoying our lives. Soper spoke at UCC's Ireland and Eco-Criticism Conference, which is where I spoke to her about pleasure, musical cycle lanes, and what constitutes the good life.
Really, one of the problems, I think, is that the imaging, the whole picture of what constitutes pleasure and the good life is so dominated, monopolised by advertisement, which of course is serving consumer culture and its expansion. And we have very little imagery of how things might be, and very little imagining in a way of alternative ways of living to that that is dominant and associated with consumerism. Alternative hedonism is really, can for our purposes here, be translated as a different way of thinking about pleasure, an alternative approach to prosperity. If we are going to achieve some kind of social and economic order that will offset the worst effects of climate change, then I think we need to do it not by panicking people and playing to the fears of apocalyptic scenarios, but by seeing it as an opportunity to rethink what it is we really want to do, how we want to consume, how we want to spend our time.
The standard recipe or the standard medicine for that is to restrict consumption.
Well, this would be a restriction of consumption in the sense that it would have to be based on some kind of agreement that we cease to have such a ever-expanding material level of consumption. We would have, a more reproductive material consumption. But the other side of that would be that you would then not need to be so committed to work. You would have a more leisured existence, an expansion of free time. In that free time, one could devote oneself, I think, to an expansion of other, if you like, less materialist-oriented kinds of ways of being, more convivial, if you like, more spiritual ways of living and being. But of course, spiritual comes with a lot of difficult connotations. I think we would probably need, you know, were we to have a cultural revolution around the politics of prosperity along these lines, to also have new concepts of what we mean by dematerialized living and spirituality. Pleasure is very much associated with the kinds of goods that are provided by the affluent lifestyle. But when you think about it and the kinds of landscapes and ruins and forms of ugliness that it produces, and also some of the effects of technology on our lives, there is a certain way in which I think if we reconceive of some of the products that go into the making of the good life, we can see that they are actually aesthetically rather repellent, that they often restrict our sensual pleasure. So in a sense, I would argue, as part of my argument about alternative hedonism, that there's also a sort of puritanical side. I mean, in many ways, I think we have, you know, the loss of leisure, the loss of more complex Baroque ways of providing for some of our needs has actually led to a diminution of pleasure in some ways.
Tell me more about that. The Baroque element caught my attention there.
Well, you know, I mean, for example, one of the examples I like to use is that if we were to open up this kind of way of thinking about provision, we could think in much more complicated ways about, say, transport provision, in which we would then provide cycle routes which weren't just sort of minimal, but that we could have several different kinds of cycle routes covered, uncovered. We could have them with art exhibitions along the side. We could have them with different kinds of music. We could, I mean, for the cost of the expansion of motorway and airport provision and so on, all of which are problematic in terms of the long-term effects on climate change, we could, expand much more green and eco-friendly kinds of ways of living and allow and indulge, actually, in quite complicated, sophisticated forms of provision for that. There is an insatiable dimension to human aspiration and satisfaction, and pleasure tends to, you become sated with certain pleasures and want others. But I think we need, in terms of alternative politics of prosperity, one that is sustainable and can accommodate and begin to transform our way of thinking about climate change, that it will be one in which we think of free time as the area in which we become much more experimental. We do more things for ourselves rather than have them provided for us by the market. I mean, if you think about the provision of the market now, it's often dependent on providing us with the goods and services that we no longer have time to provide for ourselves. If we, I'm talking about anything from fast food to quick fixes in the gym, the promise of therapy and leisure provision to make up for the stress of work, and a short, sharp sort of bounce of holiday instead of, more dreamier, kind of longer experiences. And all these aspects of contemporary consumption seem to me, in a sense, to indicate that were we to break this work and spend spiral and to have more free time available, that it would itself become the area in which what we're calling a kind of insatiability here, or I would say a creativity perhaps more appropriately, would have more space to develop itself. And we don't know where that would go. We are a very inventive species, and we don't do things over again, and we can't go back to old ways of living. But we aren't at the moment being allowed the opportunity to see where we might go were we not in this trap of ever expanding material production, which is leading us into environmental calamity, and also, of course, there's quite a lot of just purely economic consequences, as we've seen in the recent crash.
Professor Kate Soper there, enjoying life responsibly.